October 9, 2021, it's Watt from Pedro Show.
And it's Johnny Hartman, the man that I had stuck up in my mind somewhere. I just felt something about him, you know, I don't know what it was. And I liked his sound. I thought there was something there I had to hear, you know. So I looked him up and did that other one, see. And, I don't regret doing those things at all.
You shouldn't.
No, I don't.
Because Johnny Hartman went with, in my opinion, went with the quartet perfectly. Those are the only six songs I know the words to.
Yeah, me too.
Is there eight? Is it six or eight? Six, right.
I don't regret doing those.
The only thing I do,
I regret not having, you know, kept that same attitude, which was, you know, I'm going to do no matter what. Mm-hmm. That was the attitude in the beginning. But as I say, there was a whole lot of reasons why these things didn't happen.
There's ups and downs, and I was one of the
downs.
Yeah,
I was one of the downs.
Walk for Pedro show, happy Saturday. Start off the show, John Coltrane talks to Frank Kosky in November 1966. I've been putting a lot of the spiel here. Interesting stuff. He lost him like a year after this. Actually, less. No, I'm wrong. A little more. But anyway, his words are beautiful. And then we had Love Child. Well, no, did I pronounce that right? It's got two eyes.
That's Love Child.
Yeah, but there's two eyes, so that's a tricky way to spell it. But it's easier to find in the search engines, right? Okay, Slow Me Down, Love Child. Love Child. And you could hear about that voice, people, that because of those Estonian software engineers and their Skype invention, I am not man alone, but all the way from New York City. Alan Alec, welcome aboard, Alan.
Thanks so much.
You're in Manhattan, right?
I'm actually in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Oh, wow. I thought you were old, because you go way back when it was Morricone to live on Manhattan.
I actually never lived in Manhattan. I was in Hoboken for a long time, then yeah. I kind of jumped over two rivers to get here.
Okay, so what you did was you would be part of the entertainment thing in Manhattan, because that's all I know. I don't know you so much for the Hoboken thing. I don't remember seeing you at Maxwell gigs so much, but I know that in Manhattan, especially when I was visiting around, what was the name of those streets? Chelsea, Elridge. Where did Kim and Thirst live? Yeah, Elridge, Chinatown, right?
Yeah.
And so in those days, you know, they let me stay there, right? The pad, it had one hatch and a window on each end. And I think the tub was also the fucking table. And there was a head. but that's how I learned the town. They let me stay there, and I just wander and wander. I remember there was no bell either. There was a payphone, so they put the keys in a sock and toss them down on you. That's one of the calls that Thirst used for that fucking Providence. we ended up a video also, but it's the first tune on. But I want to get into your story, your journey through music. So please bring your earliest. I know you got a book and we want to talk about that. But
yeah.
I'm curious about your journey, guitar man. So please bring earliest musical memory.
My earliest musical memory is not actually a memory that I have, but my mother has told me that when I was an infant, like a newborn, I would cry around the clock, like nothing could get me to stop crying unless she played the radio or she ran the vacuum cleaner. So like that kind of noisy drone of the vacuum cleaner. So,
or maybe it was too much fucking competition. Were you colic?
What?
Were you colic?
What does that mean?
Oh, okay. You don't know. Colic. There's some kind of condition with babies. They'll cry and they say colic. You know. Something's bugging them. Obviously, that's why they're crying, right? Your teeth are trying to come out, you know, all kinds of shit.
Yeah, it was probably, it's probably like everything you can think of was making me cry.
But, you know, music is a response, maybe, you know, because the voice, right, crying is kind of a voice, right? And it's kind of an instrument. And maybe it's a response to being alive.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, if you kind of boil it down, your whole life is either talking or listening. So I think I got a head start on that.
Okay, now, in this pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
No, neither of my parents played a musical instrument.
They just played the radio? They didn't really have... They played the record player?
My mom had a few records. She had one record that I really liked, which was a recording of the Tchaikovsky 1812 Overture.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, usually it's like... But it's like timpani doing the boom.
Well, but sometimes it's real canons, right?
She had a record where it was real canons, and I really liked that. So that was like my first noise.
But I like that. Yeah, I've heard about that, and it's all about fighting off Napoleon, right?
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways it ain't so figured. Borodino and all that. Okay, in fact, they give up Moscow. They let them burn it down, and then they started, right? The Grand Army. Oh, man. Real hell. But if the Nazis didn't learn, they tried it too. Assholes. Okay.
That was later.
Yeah. Nobody learns. I think the Swedes tried too. In fact, lost a king, maybe in the Ukraine. Watch out for the big bear. Okay. You don't want to dance too close. Especially, whatever. Fucking war, Eddie. But what about the first record you bought with your own money, Alan?
Well, the first records I bought were sort of things I saw advertised on TV, so then I was sort of directing my parents sort of send away and get them for me, like the soundtrack of The Wizard of Oz, and I think there are a couple of other like box sets of classical music. But the first one I went to a record store and bought myself was the first Sean Cassidy album.
Yeah, because I asked because you don't have a lot of money when you're a kid, so it's trippy to see what first gets spent on. Sean Cassidy, now his brother had the Partridge Family, right?
Right.
Right.
Which I guess I sort of knew the Partridge Family, but that didn't, man. For whatever reason, I saw his brother, I saw Sean Cassidy on the Hardy Boys TV show singing.
Oh, that's right, later on. Yeah, he's a teenager by
then.
Yeah. I think they bring him in even younger than that in some ways. I can't, it's hard, it's 70s, fuck. What about the first gig you saw?
First real rock concert was The Who with David Johansen opening at, I forget what it's called now, but it's the Meadowlands in New Jersey. It was like, you know, a big arena.
The Giants play. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
They got a stadium there. And one time there, I conked, we pulled the boat over there and conked and went to our, okay.
Oh, really?
Shit, I wouldn't shit you. School, were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Yeah, I was in chorus all through school and also synagogue choir. And I was in stage band, too, in junior high school, which is basically like a jazz band. I was playing guitar.
Did you ever have an idea of be a cantor?
It probably crossed my mind, but by that time it seemed more fun to try to be a rock star.
Well, that's kind of the Al Jolson, right? The movie, right? Pop.
Yeah.
We're in the new land. Yeah. I want to be my own man, so I'm going to wear this blackface and sing jazz. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
In some ways, it's an endearing story. In some ways, it's kind of corny, but I guess it's first talkie, too, or big time talkie.
Yeah.
I know you as a guitar man. So yeah. How did that happen?
Well, my mom was always trying to get me to learn to play an instrument because I did spend a lot of time like listening to records. And I was always resisting because my friends would take piano lessons and then they would be stuck behind a piano for like 5 hours a day practicing. And but then once I got interested in rock music, just to get her off my back, I said, well, I would play guitar if I was going to play anything. And then sure enough, she signed me up for guitar lessons. And so in October of 1978, I started taking guitar lessons.
Now, she got your guitar?
What?
She got your guitar?
We rented a guitar first. We rented a Yamaha. It was actually like a Yamaha Classical. And
acoustic with nylon strings?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And so I think the idea was, like, let's see if, you know, he likes playing. And then if he does, then, you know, after a certain amount of months, you would have the instrument paid off for.
And when they dress you up as Segovia.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was trying to learn rock music on it, you know, and nobody really had the foresight to see that wasn't really going to be the right instrument.
You know, a repurposed trippy way of doing the nylon acoustic guitar? Willie Nelson.
Yeah.
He had a trip. You know, John Coltrane said, if you're sincere, you can play a shoestring. So, let's put it to
well,
test.
Well, Keith Richards learned on a nylon string also.
Yeah, sure. Got a lot of cats on the show have.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times.
Because I was a little kid, so I think a steel string would have hurt my fingers too much.
Right. You gave me this music here, Look, by something called Run On.
Yeah.
I'm about to play.
All right.
When you roll your eyes and look at me, down from above. Eye of the sky casts its gaze upon us all.
I had to let it happen. I had to change. Couldn't stay all my life down at you. Looking out of the window, staying out of the sun. So I chose freedom. Running around trying everything new, but nothing impressed me at all. I never expected it to.
Parking lot on Crenshaw. The Dodge had a Hemi with a torque plug. Got me good out of the gate. Pulled on him in second, rolled right up to the door in third. That was when he stopped and I finally pulled him in fourth. I believe we saw that cat off even if we did lose 200. 454, 4 speed, depends on who's around. Son of a bitch. Yeah, that was a machine. But I got as many kicks from that VW we put the 911 engine into. That was a nice little body made for surprises. Got more satisfaction out of cracking off 13-second ETs than most 11s. Weber's, Mondello heads, Vertex, that was a radical little trip. Yeah, space cushions. Okay, let's do it. How much bread we got? That's a clean machine. Not bad for a factory. You mean you got some extras in there? Is it fast? Gee, mister, I bet it's pretty fast. Well, sure, I'd be grateful to find out. Thing is, I'm not exactly in the habit of seeing the Chevy work against a two-bit piece of junk. At a yard and a half, you got a deal, motherfucker. Where to? I'll walk to the motel. Double Jack Daniels with a water chaser. Straight like this, clear across Oklahoma. What about San Francisco? New Orleans, Miami, Boston, and Chicago? That's definitely a town, the Big Apple. Fan belt sounded a little funny. Squeak. Seen that GTO a couple times before. Leaving past us in Arizona. Some kind of weekend warrior. I don't believe I've ever seen you. Of course, there's a lot of cars like yours on the road. They all get to look the same. They all perform about the same. Sure you could. Yeah, I guess we're in Texas. Oh yeah, I was thinking about the clutch. The clutch is slipping a little. I guess it is. How are you doing? I think we got us a real squirrel to run. We'll race. For pinks. Right. All the rolling stock. You name it. Right, Washington, D.C. Tell them how to do it. Turn that shit off. Turn it off, it gets in the way. Good. It all feels good. I feel good, I can take it all the way. I like it that way. Too much wind resistance. Yeah, we gotta get it on. Two cheeseburgers with onions, mayonnaise, mustard, pickles and tomato, and two cokes. You sing a lot. Yeah, why is that? He's dangerous, officer. He passed us on the right a few miles back. Must have been going about 90. That's right. He was leaving all over the road, scared my wife half to death. Must be on something. You need me as a witness or anything? Hi, man. We just wanted to let you know we're right along with you here on the road. We're all in this together, right? Same to you. That's where we are, all right. I figured as much. A little. You can never go fast enough. Didn't you mail it in? I'll ride with him. Doesn't even have a heater. Close it down. It'll be light soon. Best go through him fast. I don't want to hear about it. It's not my problem. You seen her around? The girl. Higgins, whatever her name is. Just another goat. GTO. They call it a judge, too. Try it again. Put it in neutral. Now start it. Now put it in first. Shut your eyes. First, second, third, fourth, reverse, and now neutral. I don't know, not yet. You're right, you can't do it. You're right, you can do it. Must be Saturday. No, too much noise for Sunday. Better get GTO together. Let's get out of here. But do it slow. I'll drive the goat. She won't hold up another 10 miles. Threads are gone. I got some parts. When we get that paint, we'll unload it. Let's wait till Arkansas. My cop probably had the radio out on it. Saw Rhode Island a while back. Too much engine power. Clutch strength. I don't want too much rubber to burn. That's artificial traction. How can they let them do it? Well, we'd be Class B. That is, if we went down in the mid-10s. So what happens then? Passing through. Going to Tennessee. Oh, we'll make it. Not today. One guy got his neck broke, the other one's okay. We gotta roll before the cops get here. I set it up. We're going against the Anglias. Put up the tools against 300. This is a big one. He dug that we lost to the GTO. He's running good. After DC, we'll go down to Florida. They got some good beaches down there. We also didn't grab up the start. I barely got him. Where is she? Let's go. Come on. I said where? Figured we'd go on up to Columbus, Ohio. Man got some parts up there he wanted to sell cheap. Yeah, which ain't so bad either. What you got underneath? Big price on Hemi? We got plenty of time. I reckon we could see you for 100.
For Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Run On doing Look, then ID du Femel, I Feel Anxiety, that's a title. Victoria Shen with Cloaca Whippersnapper, it's an excerpt of an installation. This machinery whooping a whip, cracking a whip. making music. Fine threads of rain, petals of breeze, gilded pleasure boat of waves of mist from Gabby Wynn, her debut album. Sell WCC Watt. It's a project got collab with Sam Lockward and Iowa City. Eye in the Sky. Brand new from Ryan James. Mabe Still. Guided by Void. Bob Pollard with another buttload of songs. Right? It's every other month. Right? He's amazing. It's so funny, too. Like, I sing with English accent, so they don't know I'm a hick. Yeah, okay. Cherubin, the great child actor. And his guitar man, maybe he's a Brooklyn guy now, right? Doug Gillard or something.
Oh, maybe. I'm not sure where Doug lives now.
Okay. I don't know if Dayton or Cleveland or... But incredible catcher. That whole band, really good guys. And then finally, Don't Cry, Driver. Will Oldham and Alan Litt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy Prince. Man, that guy is a tripper. He is a tripper. But, you know, like Tab Falco, you know, I remember Mark Riley, BBC6, right? He says, yeah, Tab Falco, one-off. But, man, ain't that the point? We're all one-offs.
Yeah.
With a lot in common.
More
we're all one-offs with a lot in common. Okay, let's get back to your journey through music. So, did you do the thing, now I'm not talking after school, like graduate, but in the afternoon, like bedroom band, basement band, garage band?
Yeah, I had a bunch of those all through high school.
And, well, tell me about the first one.
The absolute first one was this kid I went to camp with turned out in the next town from me. And so he had a band with some of his buddies at school. And so I joined their band. And that was like a few months in seventh grade. And then the next year I met a kid in my junior high school who played bass. And so we had a band called the Fuddruckers. And Fuddruckers was like a, I think it was some sort of a chain restaurant.
Yeah, we got them here. They're at the malls. Like, what's that called? the food court. It's one of them kind of fucking bands.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, that first band? It wasn't your band. You just joined. So you didn't give any material.
Right.
You were just playing along. And what they do, off records or something?
Yeah, they're a big Queen fan. So of the material was Queen.
When I first met Pat Smear, you know, I thought he was so original. I said, did you ever listen to this? Oh, I love Queen. And I was like, what? But then after a while, it made perfect sense.
Okay. Yeah.
So they kind of bored you, huh? What about Fuddruckers? Do you start writing your own stuff?
Maybe only one or two songs. That still was covers. And so me and the bass player were into The Clash and The Velvet Underground, but then the other guitarist was into Ted Nugent. So it's very weird. It's a very weird mix of like Ted Nugent covers and like Velvet's covers.
And
the drummer was a girl. The girl was from Texas, and that's how she knew about the Fuddruckers, and that's where the name came from.
Oh, okay. Ian MacKay from Minor Threat told me he was into Ted Nugent before you joined the movement. You know,
Yeah.
And then Ig actually showed me the apartment building where in front of this pad in Ann Arbor, Mr. Nugent asked Ig to be that Amboy Duke singer. And Ig said,
oh, really?
I wouldn't shit you. And Ig said it took everything he had to keep from busting out laughing. And I think I'm the wrong guy, Ted. Okay. I shouldn't have said that, maybe. But, I was tough. Nothing like getting a guided tour of Ann Arbor from Ig, you know, driving around.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. See in that window? That's where, who was the manager of MC5? That's where he rode the Lenos. The guy went to jail. Wow. What was his name? He had the big blues collection.
John Sinclair.
That's right, Mr. Sinclair. I think he's in the Netherlands now. Okay, so does Fuddruckers ever do a gig?
Yeah, we did like local gigs in our high school and just around town, like in the local park. And then after the Fuddruckers, it was me and the bass player and then these two other guys, a drummer and a guitarist, and that was Shattered Glass. And that was more like Van Halen covers and so on and so forth. And that band played around quite a bit. We played one Battle of the Bands at a roller rink. In a neighboring town, and it was us versus this other band called Bad News. But the problem was we played first, and so all our friends came, and then they left as soon as we were done, and then Bad News played after us. And because it was like an applause-o-meter thing at the end to decide who won the Battle of the Bands, all of their friends were still there, so they won because we didn't get any applause with all our friends that left.
Okay, they stacked the deck a little bit. It was just circumstance. Yeah. Now, can I ask you, because once Minuteman was playing with Black Flag in St. Louis, we played a skating thing, but it was Urethane. Was this place Urethane? Your things are kind of rubber, and you can't imagine playing a room that's all rubber. Yeah, the sound was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, Love Child actually played in Louisville at, like, a skate thing, or it was some sort of, I forget what it was now, but it was something like that. And it was, like, it was us and a bunch of teenage hardcore bands, and one of the bands was like, we need to switch times with you because our bass player got grounded, but he's going to sneak out of the house at 2 p.m. when his parents go out.
Okay. Coordinated little Mission Impossible. What happens after Shattered Glass?
After Shattered Glass, I don't really have a regular band in high school anymore, but I get into a couple of, again, these battles of the bands that were in my high school. And there was one, and I forget what we called ourselves, but it was still the same bass player who I played with all through high school.
Who is this guy? I gotta know him.
His name was Matt Nagy, and he got into video gaming later, and he moved to England. He's lived in England, I think, practically since high school, or maybe like his first couple years of college.
And no more bass?
As far as I know, he's still there.
No more bass?
I think he still plays music a little bit, I think he plays guitar.
Okay.
But so we had this... We formed this one band, and this was like playing DRI covers, Swans covers off of Cop, and then stuck right in the middle was Afro Blue from the Coltrane.
Yeah, John Coltrane.
Yeah, and my fellow students were absolutely terrified. They were like literally running out the door. They just didn't know what to make of all of this. And actually, the chorus teacher, when I came in, you know, the next Monday to school, was just like, shaking his head, just like, what the hell was that? And I was like, come on, the Coltrane song was cool, right? And he was like, yeah, okay, that was all right.
You know, Van Halen started as a cover band, right?
The
70s, come on, me and D. Boone didn't know one dude at Pedro who wrote his own songs. No one, or her song.
Yeah.
Zero. Not until the movement.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, it's lame. So, But what about you? On the side, you said you did write some songs with the Fuddrucker.
Yeah, they weren't really maybe it was the bass player who really wrote that. I wasn't really writing songs then. I was still just kind of like learning guitar. I got super into playing guitar. I was kind of a shredder. And then I discovered Henry Kaiser, actually, in Guitar Player magazine. And he wrote this whole article called Essential Listening. It was like a column they had, and and at first I wasn't even going to read it because I never heard of them and I knew who he was. But then I kind of, like, as I was flipping the pages, I saw that he had Trout Mask Replica in there, and he had Live Dead by the Grateful Dead. And I had both those records, and I was like, well, what else does he have in here? And that's where I found out about Derek Bailey and Terry Riley and all kinds of stuff, because he didn't just have guitar records. He had all kinds of other music in there, all kinds of stuff, experimental music, blues, like you name it. And then I got interested in that, so I tracked down Henry's record, It's a Wonderful Life, which was solo guitar, but it was like, you know, he was doing all this amazing stuff where it sounded like five people playing at once. And that's how I got interested in experimental guitar playing. So that was a whole other kind of world to explore. So I was doing all this kind of on my own still in high school.
Yeah, and this is kind of the days before a lot of pedals and effects, right?
Yeah, he had like, you know, a suitcase full of them, but...
No, but yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, I got a digital delay, and so I was able to do a few things with that. I mean, that was the first thing where I could kind of like, you know, do loops and just sort of like create the effect of it being like more than one guitar at the same time.
But you like the idea of Man Alone. You got tired of the ensembles?
Yeah, well, I liked Robert Fripp, Frippertronics, too. That was kind of another guy who was kind of, like, playing by himself, but he was making it sound like it was more than one person.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
And we're still ahead of the sampler thing, and because now, you know, people layer up there. I've seen people be whole bands, right? It takes a little while to build it up, but you can do it with these loops and stuff like this.
Yeah, that guy John Bryan, I saw him playing. He played every instrument. He would just like record himself playing like a beat on the drums first, then he moves over and he plays piano, then he plays guitar, then he plays bass. It's like, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, saw Laura Maya Rock do that. She started with just clicking her fingers. And then she perfect pitch like Petra Hayden, you know. So, yeah, she's got a whole fucking thing going, man. And it's trippy because you witness them building it as they're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a trip. It is a trip. And then you get there. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, October 9, 2021, edition Watt Pedro Show special guest, Alan Leck. Hold tight for hour two. October 9, 2021, it's the second hour of Watt Pedro Show.
get a good sense of the real thing. Out she comes, no hesitation. We'll draw together a bunch of fragments, like that artificial intelligence in Mona Lisa Overdrive. Signification. Signification. I'm acutely aware, I've been watching myself for some time. I've become acutely aware, I've been watching myself for some time. Good idea of the real thing.
Thank you. Thank you.
for Pedro show. Start off second hour with Alan Lick, Lauren Connors, Alternate, which was recorded at the Shitting Factory. But a way earlier manifestation, people. But
yeah.
Spirit lives on. Ben Salter, from Tasmania, Failure. Break My Own Heart from Maya Fajina. Honey Hunters from Mike Cooper. He was on a couple months ago. Great guitar, man. And then Text the Light. Lee Rinaldo and his wife, right?
Oh, that was Lee, and then it was me and Christian Marclay and William Hooker and
It's had different incarnations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this piece was called 529-01 Tonic 8. So I surmise from this it was Mr. Zorn's tonic place with
it was tonic, yeah.
2005. January 29th. Okay. The late great one. Now, Stone, right?
Well, the Stone was Zorn's thing. Zorn did a lot of tonic, but it wasn't technically his place. But He did a lot of stuff for him.
Okay. Yep. What? Fucking missing out on the fine details again. But I knew it had something to do with it and something. And it went away, and then this. And also, Roulette now is, it's still going, but it's in Brooklyn now?
Yeah.
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 These are great pads. I love them. And also that first house can... yeah, because you know what I mean? They give up space for this kind of experiment and adventure. I just love
it.
Yeah,
that's right.
I just love it. So, okay. You said the first gig off air, you told me that your first gig was at this Houston Shit Factory. So, and it was part of Thurston's rock and roll circus. The Rolling Stones had a rock. Remember, they wouldn't let it come out because the Who blew them away.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the quick.
Yeah.
But you know what's really great on that? It's fucking Taj Mahal dressed as a cowboy.
Yeah.
I love that. Ain't that a lot of love?
Yeah, with Jesse L. Davis.
Hold. Right! And he clams, and the look on his face is that was supposed to be there.
Yeah.
You could tell Keith learned a lot off of him. Great man. True. And that's just a great lick, right? Econo bass line. Right? You know what I mean? Fuck. I don't know. It just gets me every time. I think the only band to lip sync on that was the Black Sabbath guy with Jethro Tull. Tony Iommi wearing a fucking felt hat. Yeah. Okay. It could have been anyone, right, because of the lip sync. Okay. Tell me about that first gig in New York City.
That was, I mean, I had kind of met this guy, Rudolph Gray, and I heard him on this cassette. It was like this cassette magazine called Telus, and this issue was all guitars, and like Thurston and Lee were on there, and Bob Mould is on there, and Steve Albini, like all these guys alongside all these other experimental guys. And so this was like a real like revelation to me, just to see these two scenes that I was interested in kind of crossing over like that. And Rudolph was on there, and I kind of got in touch with him, and then he invited me to play this gig with him. And I already had the band Love Child going, and that was something at college, and that was founded by this guy named Will Baum, who actually went to high school with Tony Maxwell from That Dog. He mentioned Petra before, and then
the only boy in the band.
Yeah, we went through. Yeah. And anyway, so I was just starting to play clubs with them.
Alan, let me get this straight. It was Thurston's gig, but Rudolph invited you?
It was Thurston set up this whole thing. It was like Thurston played solo, the Velvet Monkeys played, Formative Magus played, and then he asked Rudolph to do something, and then Rudolph like needed a couple people to play with, so he asked me to play, and I played Kim's bass.
What starts with an O?
It was a Rickenbacker. It wasn't the Ovation, yeah.
That Ovation had a cracked neck and it would pinch your fucking hand. I played it on their evil thing. So did Geese Rite of Spring when I borrowed his bass. Yeah. Split necks.
Oh, yeah.
You got to take care of the split neck on a bass, people. But anyway, so you didn't play guitar, you played bass.
Yeah. And we just like did a free jazz kind of thing for 15 minutes.
Now, you didn't mention bass before. Was that your first time on bass?
I mean, probably, yeah. I mean, I played bass with Arthur Lee just for one gig also, but I've rarely played bass live. I played on a couple of records. I played like on a couple of tracks on Run On Records, I think, and one track on Love Child record.
Hear me out on this. Bass, four-string guitar or four-string drum set?
Maybe four string drum set, because you can change, like, both the bass and the drums can really change the direction of the song.
Okay. I think I'm with you, Alan. I'm with you. It's not a four string guitar.
People don't appreciate how much power you have with the bass. It's like you can really, it really affects how, which direction the music can go in, depending on what you're playing on the bass.
And then if you're without that poor, lonely kick drum. My heart breaks.
That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work for the kick drum.
Yeah. But people are just seduced by more room in the boat. Fuck yeah. Look, you gave me this music you did with Tom Verlaine and Yuta. Plant Jam.
Yeah.
Well, they're laughing at the end, too.
Thank you.
Down the
Walk for Pedro show. That chunk of music started out with Yuta Kother and Lick, Tom Verlaine. And people, Tom Verlaine was half of the original television, which is his yeah. initial. Well, Tom Miller, right? Who was first a sax player.
Yeah.
He wouldn't play guitar in public till they got Dick Lloyd. Yeah. Okay, Manuel Armida after that, La Lluvia, and then Alan Lick, Room for Storms. So tell me how this track, Plant Jam, had.
There was this artist named Peter Coffin, and he did this whole series called Music for Plants. He was in a gallery, and he had this whole like kind of greenhouse set up with plants in it, and he invited all these people on the music scene to come in and just play for the plants, really. And so he asked, I guess me and Yuta probably, and then Tom just kind of like kind of came along for the ride. You know, he and Yuta are partners, and you know, he was just kind of, and I knew him a little bit by then anyway. So, you know, and that's exactly, I mean, we just played for that 5 minutes or whatever it is that track is. That's
well, what I'm wondering, you didn't prac. Before, did you get
it? No. Oh, no, it was totally spontaneous.
Okay. You know, you did a cover once of a Minuteman song. Called
yes,
Polarity.
I did. Yeah.
Tell me about that. I never got to ask you about that. I loved it.
Yeah, well, what it was the people who did that tribute album to the Minutemen, Our Band Can Be Your Life.
Right.
They
Mike Hogan or something?
Yes, that sounds right. They asked Love Child to be on it, and it was sort of in the latter days of Love Child, and my idea was to do like this 20-minute version of it with just like kind of looping the last chord that's on the original version. And the guy really liked the idea, but he was like, you know, I just can't devote like a whole album side
it's
to your,
yeah.
your version. So I was like, all right, but then I kind of saved it for my first solo guitar record where I had another 20-minute piece that I kind of worked out, and I was like, well, if I put Molarity on the other side, then I've got a whole album.
Yeah.
So that's how it came about.
Okay. You know, you put a tune out there, you know, look what happened to My Favorite Things.
Well, exactly. I mean, that's sort of the inspiration. It's like, how far out can you take it, or how do you kind of like, you know, translated.
Well, no, but that's kind of your approach to music, right?
Yeah.
How far
yeah,
can
absolutely.
You take it?
Yeah.
You know, the wall is only there if you push against and something, yeah, stops you. You just don't agree the wall's over there. You actually go out there and put your hands out there and feel for it.
Yeah, or you're spray painting something on the wall.
there is a wall. My point is,
there
like,
is a wall.
My point is, a lot of the walls might be constructs in our heads, right? That we just assume, right? Very dangerous word. My pop loved said that spelling's not an accident, boy.
Yeah.
Right to make an
yeah.
ass out of you and me. He just thought that
right.
was the most incredible.
Said, well, the other
it
thing
might
I
be
did.
A coincidence. Don't
the other thing I do with pedals also is like once I get one, I figure out what it's supposed to do, and then I do something else with it, like something that you're not supposed to do with it. Like, you know, I have one of those whammy pedals that's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be like sound like a whammy bar, but, you know, you kind of play it with your foot, almost like a wah-wah pedal. And so I would never do that. I would just sort of like take some of the knobs and like twitch them around. And when you do that, you get all this kind of like crazy, like, kind of sound.
Right. So you're saying a pedal ain't, really, what you're saying is a pedal really ain't an extension of the guitar. It's an instrument unto itself.
It can be. If you subvert what it's supposed to be doing, then you can find all kinds of sounds that are not really, wasn't made with the intention of having, but they're in there anywhere. They're just, anyway, they're just there kind of for you to find.
Yeah. But a parallel universe might be satire or irony. You need the thing to make fun of first.
Yeah,
we're at the end of the second hour. October 8th. Nope. October 9th, 2021. This is about Peter Show special guest Alan Lick. Old Time Fire 3. October 9th, 2021. It's the third hour. What? Peter Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, third hour, start off Rendezvous in Space. Henry Kaiser and Alan Licht. And this is the man that kind of got Alan. Well, he was a sea change in your guitar playing life, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Reading that article. Yeah, and he's a great, nice man. He fucking, you know, I didn't want to do it, but he talked me into it. I ended up being part of his Love Supreme and Meditations interpretation.
Yeah, I did that with him. I did that with him also and up in Santa Cruz.
Fuck, man. I was like, well, this was a recording, so at least the gig goes into the air. Unless somebody gets on their fucking lease and puts it on Lube Dube. But anyway, and, you know, I'm glad he had me do it anyway. But Henry gets things going. He gets things happening.
Yeah, that's you
know,
for sure.
Either through an article or like, yeah, he's playing with you. You're on stage with him. You know,
that's right.
People like that are very important. They're fabric to connect. Great detective stories from Sam Locke Ward. Ah, guy I got that project with. Featured Stevie Moore, incredible kid. Trobakova Kustrepeši out of Slovenia with Skreveni Magrom, which is hidden by fog. I wonder where they are now. I mean, this was in the old Yugoslavia days. And finally, Babes in New York with the Grand Scheme. There's another tune. Fuck, what? Can't remember. Yeah, because it's one of your tunes, right?
Which one is it?
Run, Run, Run.
Right, from the vinyl soundtrack.
Yeah,
with Julian Casablancas singing and
Mike
Tony
Bullock
Canahan
before that was Tread, and then Run, Run, Run. And then, what's the name of this project?
This was that show on HBO Vinyl. And we did a bunch of sessions where we were kind of playing the music that was used in the show. So like in this episode of the show, there's like a flashback to the protagonist going to see the Velvet Underground at the Dom. And so the Velvets are playing Run, Run, Run. And so we recorded the version that's in this, the HBO show of, you know, that song.
Okay. Okay. So, you're back to covers. Just having a little fun. So you got a book, Alan.
Yes. Common Tones.
Yeah,
selected interviews.
Let the listeners learn about it.
Yeah. It's a collection of all these different interviews I've done with people over the years, like Lou Reed is in there and Tom Verlaine and Suicide and also some experimental filmmakers like Ken Jacobs and the performance artist Vito Acconci and Matthew Barney, the artist, and Ira Kaplan and Georgia Hubley from Yolo Tango, all kinds of people.
Ira actually met him when he was booking Maxwell's.
Ah, right. Or he was doing sound at Maxwell.
Yeah, but
right?
But also did some get before Todd Abrams.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But
we talk all about Maxwell's in Hoboken. That's sort of like what that interview was about. It was something I did for a French fashion magazine, actually. But they were doing this issue about New Jersey, and they wanted us to just talk about Hoboken.
Wow. Okay. Now, tell me about the book. When did you get the idea?
Well, Blank Forms approached me about doing a book a few years ago, and we kind of talked about different possibilities of what it could be. And I said, I have all these tapes of doing interviews with people, and they weren't necessarily printed as Q&A interviews. It was because I was doing a profile of somebody like Lou Reed for a magazine, and I would interview him, and then I would use a few quotes, but I never published the full interview. So, you know, why don't I transcribe all this stuff, and we can put a whole book out of that, a collection of it. And they liked that idea. And so a couple of years ago, I kind of sat down and took out all the tapes and transcribed everything. Then they had to finish up some other projects. And then last winter, they really got on the ball and they were kind of sending me a different edit, like, or two or three different edits a day, you know, for like 2 or 3 weeks. And so there's like close to 30 interviews in there, and it's a 600 page book. But it's really, I find it to be really readable, and it's kind of amazing because it kind of charts my own course through kind of meeting these people and kind of learning from them as I go along. And the whole idea of common tones, it's like not only do they have something in common with each other, even though it's a fairly disparate group of people, but also I have something in common with all of them, and that's kind of what made me interested to approach them to do an interview anyway in the first place.
Now, 600 pages, but you probably gave them more than that, right?
Well, not always, because like the Matthew Barney one, you know, that the article that was published in a magazine was like only a page, and it's a 4,000 word interview. So it's actually much more than ever, you know, appeared anywhere else before.
Well, that's why I'm saying you gave them so a lot of stuff, but still pared down to 600.
So yeah, well, actually, no, I mean, I think that's pretty much, they actually, they pretty much printed everything that I gave them. I mean, we edited things out here and there, but that's pretty much it.
Okay. So there's no like 1,200 page one.
No, it's not like the David Lee Roth book.
Yeah, yeah, I was gonna say. Now, where can people learn about it on the internet? Is there a site they can go to?
Yeah, blankforms.org is the publisher's website.
blankforms.org.
Yeah.
Okay. See, people go there and check this out. It's always a great thing to read about music.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you go to the museum, me and D. Boone had this joke where a real tiny painting and then a little description next to it's about 10 times as big. That's what we got from the way Wire put the lyrics on that Pink Flag record.
Yeah.
So that's why Minutemen put their lyrics that way. That was the whole idea. Like you go to a gallery and the description is bigger than the work. No, but it is interesting about that kind of thing. And, you know, I think one of the common things is you're talking to all these guys. You're the common link.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know if you – do you know the movie The Swimmer with Burt Lancaster? It's about this guy who – do you know it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so people know it's about this guy who, like, he basically, like, swims his way across – home across the county, like, just jumping in one pool after another. Right. And every pool – belongs to like someone else he's kind of met somewhere in his life, and some of the people are happy to see him and some of them aren't so happy to see him. And when I started reading the book, I was like, I'm the swimmer.
I think like calling, instead of the pools,
it's music. It's yes, music is like
speaking of Wire. Thing. Speaking of Wire, I think Colin Newman made that into a song.
Oh, really?
Called The Swimmer. Yeah, and it's got the cover's like a hedge cut in the shape of a swimmer. Look, I want to play this jump. Speaking of David Lee Roth.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. I found myself away with nothing on my back. My son had died of cold, an angel 6 years old. Run away, son, away from the pain. Town of prey, town of prey.
Qu'avec toutes ces fausses vérités.
Walk from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Jump from Alan Lick. Garden of Diode States in a mirrorgasm capes. This is James Twig Harbor, Rubber O Cement. Interesting titles from those guys. Black Humor, also from the city. I Should Have Let Him Die. That's a trippy record. Kishi Bashi, Trying to Pray. P-R-A-Y, people. Versari, Tu Te Disait. D-I-S-A-I-S. I don't want to butcher the French language anymore. I love the way they cut out the last letter, so it's just decide, probably. And Blue Humans, finally. Finally. I thought it was a good one to close on. Is this the guys with the blue paint on?
No, that was okay. It was Rudolph Gray. It was me, Rudolph Gray.
That's right. Golf. Yes, of course. Greg Ginn put out some, stupid what.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And on New Alliance.
Yeah, right, after me and D. Boone's tenure.
Right. Right.
Now, Rudolph Gray, really interesting cat, man. He wrote that book, right, on Ed Wood.
Ed Wood, yeah. Yeah,
interesting man. And I think the connect was Thirst. That's how Greg got to know him. Is Rudolph still making music?
I not as far as I know. Okay. It's been a while since I talked to him. I think the last time I saw him was at the book party for Thurston and Byron's No Wave book.
Okay.
And
what are your plans musically?
I'm recording a new record that VDSQ is going to put out in 2023. And a couple of other things. I've actually been playing a little music with Steve Gunn. I think we're going to try to record something.
He's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks.
No, awesome. Great guy.
And is there a place on the internet people can find out what you're doing musically?
My website is www.alanlicht.com, and the
you should spell I that. Also, spell that, please.
Alanlicht, and then also alanlicht.tumblr.com, alanlicht.tumblr, tumblr.com.
No E, people. Tumblr. Big honor to have you on the show. When this new record comes out. Oh, and this stuff with Steve, too. You come back on the show and we can talk about it?
We'd love to.
Thank you so much, y'all. Truly. Keep on keeping on, brother. People, it's been October 9, 2021. The Dishwap Pedro should keep your powder dry.